You are listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Granger, Indiana. For more information, please feel free to contact us by visiting our website at harvestgranger.org.
Well, good morning. It is a joy and an honor to be here, and especially an honor to have my family here and be able to come and just bring God's word for you. I asked Micah if he would sing that song before I spoke, and the first service is he started to play it. You know, I just kind of got overwhelmed with just, it really was about 5 months ago when it all started right here. And Trent and the elders kind of sent me off to Pittsburgh, and just overwhelmed with what God is doing and what was just really a lot of faith then and didn't know what was going to happen, and really stepping out on the water and saying, God, what are you going to do? And seeing what God has done over the last 5 months and what I believe he's going to continue to do. And how it's continued, just faith, just believing, God, you're going to do it, only you can do. Those silent prayers that have been answered, and more of those silent prayers that are still being prayed, and asking God to do what he can only do. We left 5 months ago here with four children and one in the womb. And 3 weeks ago, my wife had our fifth child, Titus Jabez. And he is doing well, and my wife is doing well. And so five kids now. And we have about 48 people in our core group right now of committed adults and about 21 kids. And we have a lot of kids, which five of those are mine. So I thought to build a church, just keep having kids. And that kind of helps out in that process. And so we're excited about what God is doing and excited what how he is working, how he is moving. And the people that he has brought to our core group could not ask for just better families than leaders. And it has just been an honor, a privilege to serve with them. And we're kind of getting that process right now of getting our team together, our leadership team, and getting them ready for launch. September 22nd is the date that we put down to launch, so please be in prayer that day. September 22nd, which is about 70 days away. And so we are counting down and just believing God to do what only God can do. And so we're excited what he's going to do. And I tell my core group, we have a front row seat to watch him work. And that's what we get to do. We have a front row seat, and he's doing what only he can do. I remember in about, I think it was about April, I was praying, God, I want you to come. I want you to move. God, I want you to come. I want you to come. I remember God just stopped me in my prayer and saying, Jeremiah, I asked you to come here. I'm already at work. I'm already moving. And I remember going, oh, that's right. It's not me. And that's kind of, it's one of those, put your hands up again and say, okay, God, I got front row seat. I'm watching you. If you want me to go get something or do something, then I'll do it. But it's just awesome seeing God move and see God will do what he only can do. And I thank you so much for your prayers. I know many of you are. And Pastor Trent's just been a huge blessing. We talk our email weekly, and he's been a huge encouragement and just helping walk down this path as he did it 5 years ago, and helping in so many ways. And right now, as a core group, what we're doing is really trying to teach my people what the DNA of Harvest is. And just trying to get what we are, what we're going to be about, what the culture is going to look like. The nice thing about planting a church is you can kind of form that. And just believing God, saying, okay, this is what it's going to look like. This is what we want to do. This is how Children's Ministry is going to run. This is how everything's going to work. And you know, if you are part of Harvest and you are a member here, then there are four pillars that Harvest is based on. And that's kind of what we're doing right now as a core group, just getting those four pillars into them and teaching them about them. When Trent asked me to speak, that's kind of what's going through my mind a lot, of those four pillars. The first one being expository preaching, or passionately proclaiming the Word of God. And I tell you, probably 80-90% of the people that are coming to our core group, that's what they desire. They desire to be taught the Word. And there's not too many churches in that area that are just teaching the Word of God. And so we're excited about being able to open the scriptures up and be able to teach the word. Next one there will be Christ-centered worship. And we're excited about God just being able to worship Christ, not in a show, but because it's all about him. And letting our worship be Christ-centered. And then boldly proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel. And then also the pillar of prayer. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, a little about the pillar of prayer, because I would say if there's one that God is teaching me the most on right now, it is this whole area of prayer. And I know as you kind of embark on teaching on prayer, as I was kind of thinking through this, I was like, you know, most people when they think, you know, they're going to hear a message on prayer, it's kind of one of those messages like, oh, really? Another message on prayer? You know, you think you're going to walk out feeling bad about yourself and that you need to be praying for 7 or 8 hours a day, or you're just going to go, oh, that was a nice message. And that's not my desire at all. My desire is not just to discourage you and make you think you're some terrible person and that everybody walks out thinking they're lost because they don't pray for 5 hours a day. Okay, that's not where we're going today. And my desire is also not that you walk out thinking, oh, that was a nice message. Because I want it to be somewhere you look and say, okay, God, I want you to challenge me this morning. And Trent, I'm going to ask you to get my mirror again. I forgot to bring it up again. What my desire and my prayers this morning is to take God's word, and as James talks about, that we go to the word of God, and we can be hearers of God's word, or we can be doers of God's word. And to look at it as in a mirror, and to look at ourselves, and to see really where we're at. You know, I can look, and I can say, oh, my hair's right out of place. But to look, and my desire is to hold up God's word this morning, and to show you with this whole area of prayer, what God's word says about it. And for you to look at it and say, okay, that's where I'm at. Now, it's going to be up to you to figure out what you're going to do with it. I remember when I was in college, I used to think when I was in college I was pretty buff and pretty strong. And you know, I'd go down to the workout room and I'd go lift weights. And then I'd, you know, come back to the room and I'd take my shirt and start flexing in front of it. And, you know, I'd try to find the perfect angle where I actually looked big. It took a long time sometimes. But I'd try to figure out that forum. And really, though, I could think it all I want, but the reality was when I looked in the mirror, I wasn't. I know it's surprising for some of you because I'm so different now, but I really wasn't. You know, the same is what I want to do with God's word today. I want us to look, and I want you to say, okay, this is what God's word says about prayer. Now, I know some of you are going to look at it and go, forget that, and walk out and say, who cares? Some, you're not even going to look. But my prayer is that some will look at it this morning and say, God, I want you to change me in that. And maybe it's not an overhaul for you. Maybe it's just a little fine tune-up that some of us need. That, you know what, there's some things that I can work on, some things that, you know, as God's word says, this is what the prayer should look like. And there's some things that maybe I can work on, and I can maybe do a little bit better. And now let me say this, not in a legalistic way. You're not going to hear me say you should pray for 5 hours a day or make sure you're praying for this long. Because I know when he talks about prayer, we can get very legalistic sometimes. And we're not going to walk down that road. We're just going to talk about this communication with God. Now, let me give you a couple quotes before we jump into this passage here. Just some of my favorite quotes on prayer. C.D. Gordon said this, "The greatest thing anyone can do for God or man is pray." Samuel Chadwick said, "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from our prayerless studies, our prayerless work, our prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray." Ian Bounds said this, "The goal of prayer is the ear of God, a goal that can only be reached by patient, continued, and continuous waiting upon him, pouring out our heart to him and permitting him to speak to us. Only by so doing can we expect to know him. As we come to know him better, we shall spend more time in his presence and find that presence a constant and ever-increasing delight." He also said, "Prayer honors God, acknowledges his being, exalts his power, adores his providence, and secures his aid." I heard a story about five college students who were going to listen to Charles Haddon Spurgeon preach years ago when he was a pastor in London. And they walked in, and the service hadn't started yet, and the doors weren't open yet, so they kind of waited out in the lobby, and an older gentleman came up to them and said, "Would you like to see around the church? I want to show you where the heating room is." They didn't want to offend the older man, so they said, "Sure," and so they started to kind of walk around the church, and he took them downstairs into the basement. And he opened a door and said, "Right in here is our heating room." And they looked in, and there they saw 700 people praying for the service that morning. And they shut the door, and he walked out, and he looked at them and introduced himself as Charles Haddon Spurgeon. You know what my prayer is and my vision is for Harvest Pittsburgh and my prayers for Harvest Granger? It is that there will be hundreds of people that before the services that will pray. And that while the service is going on, that you will pray. And there won't be just a church that talks about prayer, but you'll be a church that prays. Listen, if we want to see God do miracles, if we want to see God do what only God can do, it's not going to happen because our knowledge or our human wisdom or we think we can accomplish. It is only going to happen because we're on our knees in prayer. The things that God did in your church 5 years ago and as it was launched, and the things that I'm seeing God do now, it is not because Jeremiah is smart or Jeremiah is a good pastor. It is because God is listening to his children pray. And no matter where you're at in your life, we need to be a people that pray. A people at our knees and be a church that not just talks about prayer, not just says and puts it on our walls and said, yes, we're a church that prays, but that we truly are a church. And the people that filled the church know what it means to pray. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at one verse, but just to give you some context of what's going on here. Here, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's ending his letter to them here. In verse 10 of chapter 6, he says, "Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." And he goes through and he lists the armor of God and he tells them, you know, we're not fighting against this flesh and blood, but against this present darkness, against the spiritual forces. And he says, put this armor on. And then most commentaries and theologians would say that verse 18 here is really the glue that puts the whole armor on. It is really the importance of putting that armor of God really happens right here in this nugget of truth right here in verse 18. Read it with me. It says this, praying at all times, in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Let's take this verse apart this morning, and let's look and see what this is really talking about. Let's first make sure we understand what prayer is. What is prayer? If I were to ask you what prayer is, what would you say? D.L. Moody, he asked a group of children this question, said, well, what is prayer? One child raised his hand real quick and put his hand up and said this, prayer is the offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, with confessions for our sins, and thankful acknowledgement for his mercies. D.L. Moody was presently surprised. I don't know about you, but if you would ask me what prayer was, I would not give you a good definition as that is. But here's my definition, just as simple as can be. Prayer is communication with God. That's what it is. It's you communicating with God. But what I think a lot of people, when they think of prayer, they think of one aspect of prayer. And that is the asking aspect of prayer. But listen, prayer is not just asking. It is praising God. It is thanking God. It is waiting on God. It is listening to God. It is singing to God. Because listen, church, prayer is communication with God. And so when I have communication with God, that is what prayer is. You know, what an amazing thought to think that the God of the universe wants to have communication with me. I mean, do you understand this? I mean, we're not talking to some dead idol, but to a living God. We're not talking to mere man, but we're talking to the creator of the universe. We're not talking to some weak leader, but we're talking to the one who conquered death and sin. We're talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I Am, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. And the incredible thing is not only are we talking to that God wants to have communication with you. I'm glad two people are excited about that. Listen, the whole thing of prayer, because you know, if you grew up in church, you've heard it all your life, you think, oh yeah, I can pray. Listen, you are praying to the God of the universe. Let that slap you across the face for a second. That is an amazing thing. And if that ever becomes old hat to us, then prayer is going to become old hat to us. But when we start to realize that we can pray at any time to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then we understand what incredible privilege that we have as God's children. To be able to go before his throne boldly, to go boldly into his presence and to pray. So I want to give you four things that I see in this passage. I want to hold the word of God up. You're going to look in the mirror and see who you are and when it comes to this whole area of prayer. And I want to weave some things in just that God has been teaching me as these last 5 months of church planning and how God has teaching me more and more the importance of prayer and what it is. Here's the first thing we see here in this verse, praying at all times, praying consistently. Pray consistently. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Philippians 4:6 says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. God wants us to be consistent in our prayers. Pray at all times. I believe when it comes to praying, or praying consistently, I believe there are four types of people. I believe there's one, I'll call them the endangered prayers. And they really pray when they're in danger. I mean, hey, if there's a trouble, or if there's a problem, then they're on their knees praying. They need some finances here, or someone's, you know, happening here, sickness in their family. Then, man, they're consistent. They're on their knees praying. Then the second group, I'll call them, is the mealtime prayers. And these are the prayers, they are consistently praying before their meals. I mean, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They're praying. They're there every time. And the third group is, I'll call, the church prayers, our public prayers. And, you know, they'll pray if they're called on, or if that small group, they'll pray, or, you know, as a family gathering, they'll pray. And then the last one I'll call is relationship prayers. And these are ones that truly have a relationship with God. And so their prayer is not just, hey, because this is happening or this situation, but because they know they have this relationship with God, they're consistent in their prayers. You say, Jeremiah, how can I really be obedient to that passage? I mean, it says to pray at all times. How are you supposed to pray at all times? Well, I think what this is saying is that is an attitude of prayer at all times. Is my life characterized by praying? Is that what has characterized your life? You see, this passage doesn't tell you how to pray consistently. It just says pray at all times. So what can we do? How can we help ourselves pray consistently? I believe you can look through the scriptures and you can find some examples of praying consistently. And so here's a couple. I think appointment praying. And we see that through the scriptures. I see the life of David. He says early and the night watches, do I pray? Do I praise him? Do I thank him? Do I go before my God? He says also seven times a day in Psalms that he prays God. Appointment praying. Listen, these are things that he does. We see in the life of Daniel would be another one. Three times a day, he would get on his knees and he would pray. Again, not in some legalistic way, but he set an appointment. He says, I want to talk with my God. And I know just for me personally, if I don't do that sometimes, I won't do it. We even see in the life of Jesus where he would get up early and he would go and pray. Corrie ten Boom, famous missionary, she said this. She said, don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. A man is powerful on his knees. Ian Bounds, famous prayer warrior, said this. The men who have done the most for God in this world have been early on their knees. He who fritters away the early morning, its appointment and freshness and other pursuits than seeking God will make poor headway in seeking him the rest of the day. If God is not first in your thoughts and efforts in the morning, he will be last place the remainder of the day. Listen, it's more likely if you start your day off with God that you will walk through your day with God. And again, we're not going to get legalistic. You got to spend this much time every morning with God. But listen, what would happen if you just set an appointment that the first couple minutes of every day you got up and spent with God? Just say, God, I need you. God says to pray at all times, and sometimes we just got to, as humans, we just got to get our mind around, okay, listen, I want to live this day for God. Appointment praying. Here's another way is just, I would say, weakness praying helps in our consistency. And I've seen the life of Paul. It was in his weakness that brought him to his knees. He realized how much he needed God. You know why some people don't pray a lot? It's because they think they're strong enough to make it through this life. They think they can do it on their own. And if you're just like, you know, I just kind of forgot to pray really today, or I kind of forgot to pray this week, then listen, that's a good indication that you think you can do it all by yourself. God brings things into our life, and for me, it's church planting right now. He's brought this whole mega thing of church planting to show Jeremiah, you can't do it by yourself. And you know what it's done for me? Because in my weakness, it's brought me to my knees. Because listen, there's no way we're going to launch a church in Pittsburgh if God doesn't do it. And there are numerous times that I'm on my knees saying, God, I don't know where the next couple's going to come from. God, I don't know where the finances are going to come from. God, I don't know if we're going to get this building. God, I need you. And through these months, I'll tell you, the consistency of my prayer life has grown. Why? Because of my weakness. And I tell you, God will put weaknesses in your life, things and experiences or circumstances in your life to bring you to your knees. To bring you to your knees where you realize, where you say, God, I need you. And it brings us to that point where we pray at all times, consistently. You know, what about you this week? Consistently. What about you, mom, dad? What about you, business worker? Praying at all times. Did you live in an attitude of prayer this week? Listen, when God brings those circumstances in your life, realize that he's doing it for a purpose, and one of the reasons might be to teach you what it means to pray. Because a lot of times when things are going good and everything's pretty good at home and work's going pretty good, we don't think we need God. And we don't talk to him. God wants that communication with us. Pray at all times. Look at the next phrase here. In the Spirit. Pray correctly. Pray correctly in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Is it talking about some special language? Is it talking about, you know, speaking in tongues? You know, what is it talking about here when it says to pray in the Spirit? Now, Paul here is not talking about some special language. He's not talking about speaking in tongues because he says to do it at all times. And we've seen other passages that Paul is not talking about you're supposed to speak in tongues at all times. So praying in the Spirit, that's not what it's talking about. So what is it? What is it talking about praying in the Spirit? I believe it means praying with submission. It is lining up yourself under the Spirit. It is praying your will be done. It is praying on your knees instead of pointing your finger at God. It is praying for his glory ultimately be done, not yours. I read a little insert by John Piper, and he said this when asked the question, what is praying in the Spirit? Says this, it means so to pray that the Holy Spirit is the moving and guiding power. In other words, when you pray in the Spirit of God is moving you to pray. That is, he is the one who motivates and enables and energizes your prayer. When you pray in the Spirit of God is guiding how you pray and what you pray for. So to pray in the Spirit is to be moved and guided by the Holy Spirit in prayer. We pray by his power and according to his direction. Listen, I don't know about you, but I want to pray with that power. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says that when we pray, the Holy Spirit takes our prayers and groans them to the Father. Listen, you are either going to pray in the flesh or you're going to pray in the Spirit. Let me give you a comparison of the two is. If you were to jump off a cliff and say, I'm going to try to flap my arms and try to fly, that'd be like praying in the flesh. If you were to jump off a cliff with a jet-propelled backpack on, that's like praying in the Spirit. You're going to do something. And many of us, we are not praying correctly because we're praying in the flesh. We're praying for our will to be done. Why don't people pray in the Spirit? There's a couple reasons. I think one is because people are lost. Listen, if you don't have a personal relationship with God, you're not going to be able to pray in the Spirit. And you're not going to get too far with your prayers. And a lot of people, they don't pray in the Spirit because they don't have that intimacy. The Holy Spirit is not living inside of them. The other reason why I don't think a lot of people pray in the Spirit is because they have no time. I mean, it's just a lot of quick prayers. Now, I'm not saying that all quick prayers are not in the Spirit. But if all that you do are quick little prayers, then I don't think you truly understand what prayer is. And praying in the Spirit is not just all these little, I got to do all the quick little things. It's that relationship with God. And I think another reason why we don't pray in the Spirit is because we're just selfish. And that's probably the number one reason. Because most of our prayers are all about us. We're praying for things for our will to be done. We're asking God, God, give me this, 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 this. I need this, I need this, I need this. And it's all about us. So how do you pray in the Spirit? You submit under him. You line up under him. You say, God, I want to pray. I want it to be all about you and not about me. Praying correctly. Praying consistently. Let's stop for a second. How you doing? As we look at the Word comes out, pray at all times in the Spirit. Are you praying correctly? Are you praying consistently? And then here's the next one. Let's continue on in this verse right here. Praying at all times in the Spirit and with all prayer and supplication. Pray specifically. Pray specifically. The word here means, in the Greek, it means to implore a specific request. God wants us to pray specifically. Philippians 3:6, we already quoted this verse. It says, in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. Let me ask you, what are you praying specifically for? What are you praying right now specifically for? I tell you, this area right here is where God is really teaching me in this whole area of church planning. Just the process that we have walked through of praying and seeing, exciting, watching God establish and build his church. When we were called to go to Harvest in September, to go through their training center, they asked you to raise $8,000. And so we started to pray, specifically, God, will you provide $8,000? God brought in $20,000. We started to pray, God, where do you want us to go? Because when we went in September, we didn't know what city God wanted us to plant in. So we started to pray and say, God, will you give us a city? Give us a city. Where do you want us? And God clearly made the way to Pittsburgh. So we started in Pittsburgh saying, God, if this is the place, then show us, you know, really most of our core group was right out, was about 20 miles from the place that we really wanted to plant, which was Monroeville, just about 10 miles outside of downtown Pittsburgh. And so I started to pray and say, God, I really would like one couple from Monroeville, because that's where I believe you want us to have the church, is in that area right there. And most of the people that are coming right now are about 10 or 20 miles outside of Monroeville. So God, will you give us a couple? We started to pray that in November. The end of November, I got a forward, which was an email that was forwarded to me from Walk in the Word. Walk in the Word is the radio ministry of James McDonald. And they forwarded me an email from a gentleman who said, I love Harvest and love what you guys are doing and would just like some more information on it and even interested in a church here. Guess where he was from? Monroeville, that's right. When I saw that email, I was like, wow, God's doing something. We get to Pittsburgh and started to say, God, where do you want us to meet as a core group? You know, we don't have a building, so where do you want us to meet? Through that gentleman who was from Monroeville, he knew a pastor of a church, and they've allowed us to use their facilities on Sunday nights right now before we launch, which has a sanctuary and a gym and classrooms so the kids can play, and it's been incredible. And then we started to pray in May, God, we need this amount of money, and started to pray specifically that the core group would be able to, through their tithes and offerings, would bring in this amount of money. And by the end of May, and not only did God have that much come in, but almost doubled it. And then the big one that really we've been praying for is just a building. God, where do you want us to meet? So the beginning of April, I sat down with the superintendent of the school system there in Monroeville. And the amazing thing was, is she just came on in December. Because when I told other pastors that I was, you know, looking to get into the school and try to see if we could use their auditorium to launch the church, they kind of were like, yeah, right, good luck. And so when I went in to meet with her and realized that she's only been there 3-4 months, I started to give her the vision of what we wanted to do and asked, would it be possible for us to be able to use the school? Would that even work? And she said, you know what? The last church, the last school I was at, I let a church do it, so I'll talk with the board and see what happens. And so she kind of became, helped us as we started to push this through the board. And so it kind of went through April, and I thought by the end of April, I would know. I thought, you know, we're praying for this month, and we even fasted, and you will know. And I did something real stupid. I made a commitment with God. I said, I want to drink any sweet tea until we know where we meet. Now listen, that's a big deal for me, okay? Because I like sweet tea. And it's hard for me, because I'm not a coffee drinker, but I'm a sweet tea drinker. It keeps me going sometimes. You know, when you get tired with 5 kids, you know, you kind of need that sweet tea sometimes, get you going. And so, you know, I thought for sure I'd have to go like a week or two, you know, without it. I can do that, I think. And, April went through, and we didn't hear anything. We got into May, still didn't hear anything. And I called in the middle of May and just like, hey, you guys forgot about us? And I'm like, no, we're going to take it to the board at the end of May. It's like, okay, great. So the beginning of June comes, and I'm kind of waiting for that email. And just, you know, waiting for every email that comes up in my email box, I think it's them. Every phone call, I'm like, is it them? And an email comes up, and it says, can you please fill out this application so we can present this application to the board? I'm like, what? I would have done that 2 months ago if you would have told me. And I didn't say that to them, trust me. But I filled it out. I sent it into them. And so then it was still going, you know, through June. No sweet tea. And still walking through June. And June 17th, they have one meeting. And we find out that only does the board has to approve it, but the city has to approve it. And so we have to have this permit through the city. And so the board votes on June 26th, but the city's not even going to vote till August 13th. Now, the biggest thing was the board. And so we really started to pray and say, God, you can do all you can do. They've never allowed this before in the school's history for a church to meet on a regular basis as a sanctuary to use for their worship. And again, people gave us really no hope. And so as a core group, we started to pray. And I went to that meeting that day, and they got to the place where they were supposed to vote for us. And, you know, it's like, you know, it seems like it takes forever where this person says yes, and this person says no. And you're like, oh, how many is that? And, you know, and finally go around, and the guy said, it passes. And you know, it again, it just showed me, if God wants a school, if God wants a church and a school, it doesn't matter if the bylaws is tradition, if people say no, if God wants, it's going to happen. Because God is more powerful and God is bigger. And so now we're waiting for the city to say yes. And I still have had no sweet tea. So on August 14th, I'm going to drink a gallon of sweet tea on that day. Trust me. I'm going to really enjoy it. But listen, even if God says no and the city says no, we've been in the paper twice because of us trying to get into the school. And so we've had free publicity. We had one that was about a third of a page of a paper that they told the whole story about Harvest and how we're from Chicago and what we're about and what we're trying to do. I mean, that's better publicity than I could have done. And we have more people looking at our website now because of that. And the whole city of Monroeville knows that there's a church trying to get into the city and trying to get into that school. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to continue to pray specifically. Listen, what are you praying specifically for? What are you praying specifically for asking God to do? God answers every specific prayer that you pray. Doesn't mean it's always yes, but God does answer every prayer you pray. It might be no. It might be wait. It might be I'm going to change it a little, and we've had some of those as a church plant. At first, I thought we were going to meet in the high school, and that's what I was praying specifically for, the high school. Then it moved to the elementary school, so we were praying specifically for the elementary school, and then it moved now to the middle school. And the middle school's in a great location and probably the best facility. God knew exactly what we needed. He also says no sometimes. I was praying in May that by the end of May, we'd have 40 committed adults. And so I was praying that God give us 40 committed adults. And May passed through and we had about 30-something. God said no. God knew, I guess, that, you know, we didn't need 40 yet. Or maybe he knew that my pride couldn't handle 40 yet. But God knows. He sometimes says no. But we're going to continue to pray specifically. Praying specific. Asking God to do what only God can do. Listen, church, you're missing out on a lot of fun if you don't pray specifically. He loves it when his people get desperate and pray specifically for things. You know, I'll tell you, one of the top five reasons if you were to ask me, Jeremiah, what do you think has grounded your faith the most or made you really believe that there's a God and have a passion for God? I'd say one of the top five reasons is because growing up, we prayed for things and we saw God answer them. You know, my faith has grown so much over the last 5 months because we prayed for things and we've seen God do it. I know there's a God. I know he's listening. I know he knows that there's a couple of people out in Pittsburgh who are trying to plant a church because God is doing what only God can do. Listen, what are you praying specifically for? Let me tell you, even as a family, listen, mom and dad, you want to see the faith of your children grow? Then as a family, pray for something and watch God do it. I remember growing up, we prayed for my uncle for about 7 years and we saw God save him. We prayed for my grandfather for 7 years, and we saw God save him. Listen, you know what that did for me as a teenager? That made me go, wow, God's real. And you're missing out, mom and dad, if you're not, as a family, praying for something and believing God to do something. Right now, my kids know that we're praying for a church. And I can't wait as they get to see, as they are seeing, as they continue to see God launch this church. Listen, as a family, pray for something. watch and see what God loves to give good gifts to his kids. Now, again, you have to make sure you pray in the Spirit. Because if you're praying about yourself, then it's going to be all about what you want and your desires and your needs. And no, make sure you pray in the Spirit. In total submission to him. Praying specifically. Pray consistently. Pray correctly. Pray specifically, consistently. And then pray persistently. Look here at the last. It says, to the end, keep alert with all perseverance. Pray persistently. Listen, prayer is hard work. It's not easy. We see the illustration in Luke chapter 18 where the lady comes before the king and is asking the king for something and continues to come and to beg and to plead and basically nag the king to a place where the king gives it to her and says, okay, you can have it. Just stay away from me. And God says, listen, pray like that. That's how you're supposed to pray. He says, just as she did that to the king, so pray like that. My son Haddon right now, he wants this game on my phone because his cousin Hudson has it. And so he really wants it. And he keeps coming and asking. And the sweetest way, Daddy, you know, I think I should have this because he does. And so when he's playing it, then I can play it with him. And, you know, we can be together and do the same things. And, you know, buttering it all up, being the sweetest little boy. No, as a good parent, I probably should say no, and he should never come back again, but I'm still working on that. But I'm about to give in because, you know, I feel bad for the kid. You know, his cousin has it. And so God says, listen, pray like that. Come, continue to come with all perseverance. Pray with persistence. Don't give up. I read a story about George Mueller. He said this, he began praying for five of his friends. After many months, one of them came to the Lord. 10 years later, two others were converted. It took 25 years before the fourth man was saved. But Mueller persevered in prayer until his death for the fifth friend. And throughout those 52 years, he never gave up hoping that he would accept Christ. His faith was rewarded, for soon after Mueller's funeral, the last one was saved. Listen, who are you willing to pray for 52 years that they would come to Christ? Listen, that's perseverance. You know, a lot of us, if we don't get an answer in about a month, we stop praying for it. You know, sometimes God says wait on prayer request because he's trying to teach us what it really means to persevere. To persevere. And say, listen, do you really need me? Are you really dependent upon me? You know, maybe it's a child for you that you've been praying for years. Listen, continue to be persistent. Don't give up. Maybe it's a spouse. You say, man, I've been praying for him or her for 50 or 30 or 20 years, and it doesn't seem like it's ever going to change. Keep praying. Be persistent. God listens. And maybe right now he's just trying to help you understand. He's teaching you the lesson of persistent praying, of praying with all perseverance. Don't give up hope. Keep praying. So here's the mirror. There's the Word of God. As you look at your prayer life again, Not to beat yourself over the head and walk out in some legalistic way and say, okay, I need to start doing this 17 hours a day and I could do this. No. But it's to say, God, am I praying consistently? God, am I praying correctly? Am I praying in the Spirit? Or as I look at my prayer life, is it just all about me? God, am I praying specifically? Do I have that list of people or things that I'm praying specifically? And I will pray until you answer me or until you say no. God, have I given up in praying for some area or some way or some form? Have I given up praying for my marriage? Have I given up praying for this salvation of this person? Praying persistently. Now again, you can be hearers of the word today, which you all are, or you can be doers of the word. And you can take one of those four and say, okay, which one do you need to work on a little? You know, as you look at those, which one? You say, listen, I pray pretty consistently, but man, I don't really pray correctly. I don't think I'm praying in the Spirit. Or, you know, I don't think I'm really praying with perseverance, with persistently asking God to do it. Just like that lady goes before the king and begs the king to change. What is it for you? If we want to be a church that prays, it's not because we have a pillar of prayer, and it's not because we have signs out there that say prayer. It's because every person in here understands the importance of prayer. And when you understand how much you need God, listen, you will understand the importance of prayer. Let's be a church that gets on our knees. That's what I hope and I pray for my church in Pittsburgh. That the people that God are bringing, that we're a church that prays and continues to go boldly before the throne and beg God to do what only God can do. How about in your life today? Will you bow your head and close your eyes with me? With heads bowed and eyes closed, will you go to God right now? And ask, which one do you need to work on? Praying consistently, correctly, specifically, persistently. Which one? Just identify one this morning. Praying at all times in the Spirit. All perseverance. Which one? Just identify it. Not to beat yourself over the head. Not to say, man, I'm some loser because I don't pray this long. No. But because the God of the universe, the God who saved you, wants to have a relationship with you. He says, pray at all times. I'm here. I'm listening. That's what happened when you got saved. The relationship formed. And he wants to have that intimate relationship with you. He says, listen, pray in the Spirit. I've given you the Holy Spirit. He'll help you pray. He'll pray much better than you can, so pray in the Spirit. And he says, pray specifically. I love it when my children come and ask specific requests. So pray specifically. And then don't give up hope. Even if I don't answer it right away, keep praying. Keep praying. What an incredible God. What an incredible privilege that we have as a church, as people of God, to pray. Don't let that become old hat. Will you stand with me? Father, we come before you because you tell us to. And because of the privilege that we have to boldly come into your presence. And Father, I pray that you would help us as a church and as your body, God, that we would be people that fervently pray. God, that relationship with you would not just be something that we kind of do on Sunday morning, but Lord, it'd be all through the week. That we find ourselves continually, daily, depending upon you, going before you, asking you to do what only you can do. And God, I pray for Harvest Granger right here. God, that they would not just be a church that says they're about prayer, but God, that the people in here would catch a fire and understand it. They want to see miracles. If they want to see you totally shake this city and this place for your glory, then it's going to be because there are going to be people here that are going to get on their face and pray and ask you to do what only you can do. And God, I want that for my church. God, I want to see you send revival to Pittsburgh. I want to see you shake that place. But God, I know it's only going to happen if you do it. So God, I pray that as your children, we would understand the incredible privilege that we have to pray, to talk with you. God, we thank you for who you are, for how great you are, for your power, for how sovereign you are. Jesus, thank you for the cross and what you did for us. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to an audio sermon brought to you by Harvest Bible Chapel in Granger, Indiana. For more information, please feel free to contact us by visiting our website, harvestgranger.org.